Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
I took the good times. I'll take the bad times. I take you just the way you are.
Yeah, Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is here to tell us about the making of The Stranger by Billy Joel. Or...
We're going to go with Billy Joel.
But it's Billy Joel, no? Well, we say Billy Joel.
We do, but we say a lot of things.
Wrong.
In fairness, the man himself has said Joel. I have had to rewire my brain because I, like yourself, grew up saying Joel, but it is apparently Joel.
So okay.
Billy Joel.
That's who we're talking about, the making of Billy
like
Joel.
Billy Joe, just fasten it off with an L.
Right. How many albums?
In total, 13 in total. But he's an interesting man because, in theory, he's been around a lot longer or longer to have had more albums. But he's had several kind of moments in his life where he's taken giant pauses from music. In some instances, he thought he would never return. He returned with a bang in the 90s with the River of Dreams album and that. But I suppose... there's excellent documentary, two-parter, about him and his life that was on Sky recently, and it's definitely for fans and non-fans. It's very interesting biopic. But he's a man who struggled with alcohol. He had relationship issues. And at one point he said he kind of ran out of words. He said, if you think about songwriting and how many times can you write words to describe how you're feeling and the things you're inspired by. So he's actually mostly devoting himself to the perfection of piano playing these days.
The Stranger, where did that fall in the...
This is number five.
Right.
He kind of bursts onto the scene. I'm going to be honest, maybe not the most sophisticated of choices, but probably my favourite song from the man himself is Piano Man, which was from the album Piano Man, which had come out 4 years previous to this, and it had put him on the map. It was a massive hit, and then he had that kind of period where the next two albums didn't do so well.
Okay,
and this represents what you might reasonably call a return to form.
That's what it's all about, Mama. If that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
Indeed, that is Moving Out. Also, alternative name, Anthony's Song. Very much an exploration of kind of the struggles of blue-collar life and trying to make it and, you know, getting the things that you're supposed to get in life. And I chose it as well because the album The Stranger is very soft, melodic. It's very much piano-based music. But this is a bit more up-tempo.
Was he always a solo artist?
Yeah, I mean, he did work with a lot of session musicians and things like that. But he's always gravitated to being the man on the piano. So the solo artist, really, I'm not going to say he was a difficult man to work with. I don't want to put that on him. But he went through a lot of different band members over the years and things like that. And
how successful was he?
This album is his highest selling.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah. And it, you know, we use these terms, you know, like quadruple platinum and things like that. But the albums, anything that sold more than 10 million is in the top 50 of the highest selling albums ever. This sold about 13 million albums. Put him on top again and really announced him as a giant of the singer-songwriter genre.
I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
That is Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, and it's gorgeous. It's just absolutely lovely. One of the things I really like about Billy Joel is he conjures up the image of the place, and he's very good at creating that sense of place. And he's a man very much a New Yorker. And can we but not see the yellow taxis going by outside the window? Can we see the steam rising from the subways as you sit in this Italian restaurant at the end of a night? Possibly the night hasn't gone well. But it's so moody and it's so descriptive of of that time and moment. And he is just a master at painting those pictures.
Was he big here?
Oh, yeah, he was. He again, Piano Man, huge hit on this side of the ocean. And then he seems to disappear on this side of the ocean for quite a while. This gives him a return to form. He came back very, very strongly, as I said, in the 90s. He had that, of course, massive hit with We Didn't Start the Fire and then The River of Dreams. But he is massively selling. He's also huge. He's big in Japan. Mm. So he has stood the test of time globally. He's broken all the, I hate to use the word markets, but absolutely, every time he tours here. And he's an older man now. He's in his late 70s, so if he comes again, go and see him.
Yeah. Have you ever seen him?
I've never seen
him. Right.
I've never seen him. I've watched full-length live performances and that. They have fabulous things sometimes on the telly box that I have. And I think he's one of those artists that when you look at him, he's completely at home in his environment of creation. It's just a joy to watch.
What were his musical influences?
Well, very, very much influenced at the time. He actually used the same producer on this album as someone who had worked with Simon and Garfunkel. So you can definitely hear a bit of that in there. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant to me sounds very Tom Waits as well. That sense of the, not the gritty underbelly, but certainly that sort of mellow nightlife type vibe as well. So they certainly would have played off each other and all that. But there's also a lot of soul in here.
Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you?
That is Vienna. And beautiful, beautiful song and deeply personal. His father left the family at some point in his youth, but not before his father had taken him to Vienna. And this is a looking back at, many things, including the relationship he'd kind of wish he'd had with his father based on this very idyllic memory. It's also a song about, to peel back a few more layers, how we treat old people and how sometimes in the later stages of life we have a tendency to disregard older people and, in his own words, stick them in homes and things like that. But it's a beautifully lyrical exploration of a moment in time looking back. I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Album sales?
13 million.
Yeah, okay.
There are very few albums can say that. Michael Jackson's Thriller is way ahead of everybody with over 80 million sales. But this is top 30, certainly, in the highest selling albums ever.
For your final song, you've selected from The Stranger, Always a Woman.
Slightly controversial.
Why?
It maybe doesn't quite stand the test of a feminist critique. It can be seen as somewhat sexist or demeaning, but I prefer to enjoy this song as a deeply personal song about someone he was specifically writing about. And sometimes we can project too much, I think, on these songs. It's just a fabulous song. And, sometimes when you get into music and you start looking too deeply at things, this is just a deeply personal investigation of a relationship. His marriage broke up. It was with a woman called Weber, and even his first song, which was the Just the Way You Are, is also written about her.
Oh, right, okay.
So I do think we're talking about the main love here. And whatever happens, she's always a woman to me. And I don't know, it's simple, and yet it's beautifully lyrical, and it's so heartfelt. I can't get away from how this song makes me feel.
Well, we will leave you with Always a Woman from The Stranger by Billy Joel, or Billy Joel, as we say here in Ireland. For the
Whatever
moment,
you're having yourself.
Yeah, Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Alan, thanks a million for joining us here in Lunchtime Live for the making of.
A pleasure.
And she'll promise you more than the Garden of Eden. And she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding. But you'll bring out the best and the worst you can be. Blame it all on yourself, 'cause she's always a woman
to me.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.